You know what that means? It means it's time we talk cars, trucks, vans, and problems with all of the above. If you have any issues with your car, your truck, your van, and you have to bring it in for service to your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, and you would like to know what could be ailing, well, why don't you give us a call or a text? Dan Burns is an ASC-certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive, helping our CCO listeners out for many years now. And I know I appreciate it, and so do our listeners. Dan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Danny. How are you today?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for asking. I hope you are, too, and all the good folks over there on Grand Avenue. We're going to let you know how to get in touch with the folks at Lloyd's as well. But if you do have problems with your vehicle, and you know, if you're a regular listener to the show, you know our time is limited. Dan will be taking his leave about 7:45 this morning. So any kind of a car care question, you don't have to be a motorhead a tech like Dan to ask your questions. If you drive and you got problems, let us hear from you. Either by phone or by text, here's the number, 651-461-9226. You and I talk about potholes a lot, Dan, this season, and maybe it seems like it's worse than ever. And, of course, I was driving yesterday seeing a few, some small, some huge. And I know you and I have talked about, like, suspension and things like that, but let's talk a little bit about tires. What kind of damage are we talking about here, and how do we prevent the damage?
Well, it certainly happens, and their potholes are you know, probably the big thing going on right now that we're paying attention to and wishing there was something we could do about. It seems to take much too long to get them repaired. But, you know, the best thing we can do is protect our cars the way that we can. And one of the things that you can do that would certainly help, especially if you have the low-profile tires, is be sure that your tires are inflated to the proper level, and maybe even overinflated just a little bit, because that cushion of air that your car is riding on is the protection that you have between the wheel and the tire. And when you hit a pothole, if the cushion's just a little harder, it's going to make a big difference when it comes to doing damage to your wheels. And we've seen quite a bit of that this year, where somebody's hit a pothole, blown out their tire, and damaged their wheel. And I think you have better odds if your tires are inflated properly.
Now, Dan, you've talked about it before, but if there's some damage to the wheel itself, to the rim itself, in some cases or in most cases, is it repairable?
I think in most cases, sometimes if the wheel actually gets damaged so bad that it cracks, we've had some of those that we've had to throw away. But in most cases, I would say we don't do it in-house, but we take the wheel, you know, take the tire off the wheel, take the wheel off the car, take the tire off the wheel, and then send the wheel out to a place where they heat that bad spot up and bend it back into shape, reshape it, be sure that it's still balanced properly, and ship it back to us. And we've had really good luck with them. They turn out pretty well.
So it's
a good deal.
Interesting enough, we got an email, or rather a text, a few minutes ago. It's funny, we're talking about the topic. But this listener says, we're going to order a new SUV. I don't like the look of low-profile tires. What would be the best tires for noise and ride feel, perhaps 265, 55R, or 18-inch? Is there a big difference in those kind of tires?
Well, you have to be careful if you're going to switch the size on your tire. In other words, if you want a taller profile, in order for the wheel and tire to be the right diameter, you're going to end up with a narrower tire. And they do that. It's quite common for that to happen, especially if you switch between summer tires and winter tires. Oftentimes the winter tires, if they come on a different rim, will be just that. They'll be a higher profile and a narrower tire. And, you know, they work great in the snow. So you certainly can do that. But you have to do the math to be sure that you end up with the right diameter. You certainly can do that, but you have to do the math to be sure that you end up with the right diameter, or your speedometer and actually some of the inputs into the computer will be inaccurate, and that's not a good thing. So,
interesting.
Just be aware of that. But it certainly can be done.
Another text just came in minutes ago. I drove my 2020 Honda CR-V in moderate rain and parked it in the garage a couple of hours. Afterwards, upon starting, all the warning lights and system warning messages began flashing one after another. The message finally registered drive safely initializing. After driving a mile, everything returned to normal and the CR-V ran fine. Now, the Honda dealership said it was probably caused by the sensor located on the front of the CR-V, by the grill being wet. That may have blocked the sensor, causing the computer to give the warnings. They told me to clean off that sensor with a cloth if that ever happens again. Have you ever heard of this situation, they ask?
I have heard of that happening. And on a snowy, slushy day, that can happen too, where that, you know, there's a sensor up there, there's a camera up there too, and if that gets plugged up with, you know, lots of road salt or something like that, or more often with slush and snow, it can't read properly anymore, and that'll turn on the warning lights. So I think they're right. I think what they're describing probably to them is very common. They probably get that call a lot. And so I think if you do what they tell you, that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, I've had that same experience, either leaving the car out where we hit a lot of snow and the buzzers, you know, all the bells and whistles are going off. You clean it off and it takes care of it. So tell you what, let's do. Invite our listeners to call or text their question at 651-461-9226. Dan Burns is with us from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. We'll find out exactly where when we come back. Stay with us. It's 33 degrees. We're not going to get a whole warming today. 43 may be the high today. You may see a few scattered snow showers as well. For your Sunday tomorrow, partly sunny near 46, so slightly warmer tomorrow. Right now, 33 here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Dan Burns, who hangs out at a place called Lloyd's Automotive on Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Dan, tell us exactly where and how do we get in touch with you guys?
Well, we are at 982 Grand Avenue, Denny, which is right between Lexington and Victoria in St. Paul. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give us a call, 651-228-1316.
I will we'll make sure you get that information before Dan leaves us, which is about 7:45 or so. Dan, a bunch of text messages, and I promised our listeners we would pick up on some that we didn't get to from last week as well. But let's see who sent our text in today. Here's a Kia Sorento SUV 2014. Texter says, when I turn off the engine after driving it, I hear knocking coming from the passenger rear side of the vehicle. We can hear it when we're inside the vehicle, and I sat one day timing the knocks, and it was about 4 minutes before it stopped. It's been happening for about a month. Any thoughts on what could be causing this sound?
I think it's when you shut it off. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And then it keeps knocking. Well, the only thing I can think of is, as the exhaust heats up and cools off, sometimes there'll be a sound of the metal cooling off, and when it cools off, like, if you have a furnace in your house or radiators, you'll hear some knocking from the temperature of that. But I can't think of anything else after you shut the vehicle off that would keep making noise for 4 minutes. I don't know. If it's not, or if you're not comfortable with the idea that it's the exhaust heating up or cooling down, kind of that cracking sound, maybe what you should do is try and swing by a shop, and your shop or any shop, and see if they'll give it a listen and see what they think about it, especially if it does it consistently. We're always glad to hear that. and give you some advice.
Sure. Good idea. Here is a 2021 Subaru Forester, which Texter drove only every 4 to 10 days in the winter months. After about 4 to 5 days, it turns over very slowly. After about 7 to 9 days, the battery is dead. The dealer checked the battery, said that it is due to all the electronics, and then the manufacturer recommends that it be driven once a week. Is this normal, or do I need to keep it hooked up to a trickle charger in the winter?
Well, I think the battery should last longer than that. The fact that it's a 2021, that seems early to need a battery, so I think I would get another opinion on the condition of the battery. And then as part of the test, you know, at Lloyd's, when we do an electronic test like that, we check to see if there's a parasitic draw, if there's something that's staying on that's not supposed to. And there's specifications as to how much when the vehicle's completely shut down and everything has gone into the sleep mode, there's specs on how much amperage should be drawing. And that level of amperage with a good battery should last a good long time. You know, Denny, I have a car that I leave out in Colorado, and it can go as long as 2 months and still start up just fine when I get there. So it won't last forever. You know, you can't leave a battery in a car and expect it to stay charged up forever. But it certainly should last longer than a week or 10 days.
Oh yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that needs some more attention. There's something wrong there.
Very good. Texter says this, Dan. My vehicle door locks more frequently are not allowing me to lock the driver door. The other doors are already locked. When I turn the car on, I still cannot lock the door until I start driving. This day and age, I'm very concerned about this being a female, and it is a Kia SUV, a 2014. How would you look at that one, Dan?
Well, there's an actuator in there that actually allows the door to lock and unlock, and it's electronic. So that's my first thought. A common thing is that if there's a wire in the door, that, you know, where the door opens and closes, those wires flex. And those wires break in there quite a bit. If there's a wire that's, you know, right on the verge of breaking, they'll act like that sometimes and not allow the actuator to work properly. But you've got something going on in that one particular door. And, you know, it looks like a huge job to get in there to check it, but it's really not. To get that door panel off is pretty simple. And then it can be checked, and they can let you know what it needs. But I wouldn't be surprised if they tell you that it needs a new door actuator.
Hmm, okay. I was looking at some texts that we received last week, Dan. Here's one. It's a 2016 Ford. It doesn't say the model, but it's a 3.5 engine. Is it hard to put a serpentine belt on that?
Not for me. You know, oftentimes
maybe what is a serpentine belt?
Well, it's that flat. It used to be a V belt. You know, your car used to have three or four. We called them fan belts back in the day, and you know they'd have to be adjusted and so forth. They'd squeak from time to time. Well, over time, it has evolved into where now they put a flat ribbed belt on, and it grips better. And most of the time, it's just one belt that runs all of the components. They last forever, it seems. They rarely need to, not rarely, but not very often need to be replaced. And so it's great technology. And most of the time, I'd say most of the time, the tension is held by a spring tensioner. And so, you know, in order to put the new belt on, you have to release that spring tensioner. And sometimes that takes special tools, but not always. You release the spring tensioner and then take the old belt off and put a new one on. An important thing to make note of if you're going to try this yourself is take a picture of the old belt, the routing of the old belt, or draw a picture for yourself, the routing of the old belt, because once you get it off and think that you're going to remember how it goes back on, it's very confusing, and you have a hard time with it. That's actually, in our service manuals, they have pictures of the belt routing so that we can get them back on properly. But if you're doing it yourself, take a picture or draw a picture so that when you go to put the new one back on, you're not confused.
That's a good idea for a lot of jobs. All right. Dan, let's take a quick break here. Have a look at that forecast. When we come back, we'll pick up on more text messages here on CCO's Car Care Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here along with ASE Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. Dan will be with us till close to 7:45 or so this morning. Then Jack Farrell steps in. By the way, at 8 o'clock hour, our Smart Garden Show is going to feature Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M answering those garden questions. And John Trappi, who is the turf guru at the U of M. If you have any kind of a lawn question, you're going to want to tune in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. Dan, we have more questions similar to what we've had. Here's one. It says, good morning. Awesome car show. Thank you. This is a 2018 Toyota 4Runner. So far, since I've owned the vehicle, the battery, another battery question, has gone dead where I have to get a jump three times, have replaced the battery once. I had the vehicle checked, the battery checked, have been told nothing wrong with the battery or the vehicle. Any ideas why this continues to happen? There's that question again.
Well, intermittently, I suspect something's staying on. And, sometimes we find this where, for example, somebody will leave a phone charger plugged in their vehicle and something like that is what's causing the problem. But oftentimes, these parasitic draws are intermittent, where they won't do them all the time. So if you're having a problem with your car battery going dead from time to time, I think maybe somebody's going to have to spend a little more time going through the cycle of starting the car and then hooking up the test. And one of the things that a technician needs to be careful of is when you disconnect the battery to put your amp meter in series, you can't actually disconnect the battery. In other words, you need to do it without interrupting the circuit, because once you interrupt the circuit and connect it back up, it's a whole new game. Everything's changed. So that's one of the things that I'm very careful of when I'm doing this test, is not to interrupt the circuit, so that if something is going on, I'll know it. But like I said before, if your battery's going dead just with the vehicle sitting, then intermittently, for sure, something's staying on, or the battery's bad. You know, those are or the alternator's not charging up the battery like it's supposed to. But at any rate, those are the options. And we at Lloyd's, we have a comprehensive test for this, where we check the start of the alternator, the battery, and check for a parasitic draw. And boy, we always zero in on what the problem is. So I think if you're still having trouble, maybe it'd be a good idea to get another opinion and tell them this whole story, what you've gone through, so that they give it a little extra attention and can zero in and figure out what's going on.
Very good. Texter says this, Dan, a 2015 Ford Explorer XLT 3.5-liter V6. Should you replace the water pump when the timing belt is replaced?
Well, it depends on the car and the situation, but lots of vehicles, when you buy or when you put a timing belt on, it actually comes with a kit, and it's oftentimes a new timing belt tensioner, some of the guides, maybe some of the pulleys, and oftentimes it comes with a water pump. So, I'm of the conservative nature where conservative meaning I'm careful. I'd rather spend a little more money and be more careful You know, the job of getting, of replacing the timing belt is so big. When I'm in there, I kind of want to change anything that's a possibility. And in my business, if I change the timing belt and not the water pump, and then a couple months later from now, you have a water pump that fails, you're not going to be very happy with me that I didn't change it. So
yeah, that's true.
I'm careful about that too. You know, my theory is if I touch it, I want it to be mine, and so that I can be responsible for it. So
being proactive.
A long answer to a simple question: should you change the water pump? Yes, in most cases, you probably should.
All right. I think we have time for maybe one more, maybe two. We'll see. 2008 Range Rover HSE with 220,000 miles on it. The onboard computer said to check the brake fluid. It was low, so I filled the reservoir to the top line. I never saw any leaked fluid on the garage floor. It's been about 2 weeks, and now I do have a puddle of fluid on the garage floor right under the driver's door. I can't see where the leak is coming from because there's a protective cover with drain holes in it covering the area. The car is not telling me to check the brake fluid. Do you have any advice?
Well, it probably will tell you to check the brake fluid again. And if it's leaking right under the driver's door, my suspicion is that it's got a brake line, a metal brake line that has rusted through, and it's very slowly leaking brake fluid. So I suspect if you ignore it long enough, you're going to find out that that brake line has rusted through. My advice would be bring it into a shop and have them remove that protective cover and, you know, find out for sure where the brake fluid is going, because brake fluid is very important in the braking process. So it's, you know, it's kind of a safety issue. So
yeah, sure.
Have it checked, and don't be surprised when they tell you that that metal brake line needs to be replaced. And also don't be surprised when they tell you that it's expensive to replace that brake line, because just like the brake line has gotten rusty and rusted through, the whole brake system probably has done the same thing, where they're going to have trouble getting the bleeders open, and they're not, you know, to find a good place to start and stop to replace that brake line is a big process. And sometimes you have to go all the way from the master cylinder all the way to the back of the car and put a whole new brake line in.
All right. I think we have time for one more. Evidently, something on the dash is saying, what does it mean, steering assist reduced?
Well, I'm not sure what kind of car it is, but
yeah.
In most cases, that would mean that it's got electronic power steering. And so in other words, instead of a hydraulic pump, it's got an electric motor. And for some reason, there's a problem going on with it. And if you're getting that light on the dash that's telling you that something's going on, what I would do is hook my scan tool up to your vehicle, and I'll get more information about what's going on there. There'll be some trouble codes stored in there and so forth. And there's a whole bunch of things that go into the power steering nowadays, especially cars that, as you know, with the lane where they'll actually drive themselves and keep it in a lane and things like that. That stuff requires lots of safety information for it to work properly. And if something's going on with one of those sensors, then the safe thing to do is simply disable it until you can bring it in and have it checked. So that's what the light is telling you. Hey, there's a problem here. Bring it in, and it needs some attention. There's something going on.
Okay. One more quick one, Dan, then we have to let you go. 2018 Ford Edge started vehicle a week ago after work, and the display stayed dark. Came on about a mile down the road, and since then has worked fine. Should I be concerned with that, the display showing, you know, radio stations, temperature settings, etc.? Should the listener be concerned?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's, no. I mean, it's I wouldn't worry about it unless it happens again. But if it happens again, it's very common for those displays to run into trouble. It's a circuit board, and they fail relatively often. And the procedure is either to replace it. Sometimes that's reasonable, available, and affordable. Sometimes we'll take them out of the car and send them out to be repaired, and that works good too. It just depends on availability and the cost of repairing it.
Always a pleasure, Dan. Thank you so much. I will be seeing you this week for an oil change, if you'll accept my appointment.
I'll look forward to it, Denny. Thanks.
Okay. How do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's?
Well, come on over. Like Denny's going to 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Find us on the web. All this information will be there at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Or give us a call, 651-228-1316.
Thank you so much, Dan. Always a pleasure. We will see you this coming week, and let's do this again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Danny.
All right. Thanks very much. Dan Burns, ASC Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Jack Farrell's Wine Chat straight ahead. Then we talk lawns and gardens with Julie and John here on News Talk 830 WCCO.